If we see a person on a journey who is on the journey, traveling, and he doesn't know the destination, he doesn't know where he's got to go, he doesn't know the end point, but he's on a journey and he's traveling, people will say this person is mad or has no direction. What will be his condition, situation? He'll go this way, he'll go that way, he'll divert left and right or back because he has no destination. So for the musafir, for the traveler, it is important to identify the destination, to choose the destination, to recognize the destination. And then that person can start on the journey. And when the journey starts, he knows or she knows the destination, the end point, and tries to, makes effort to reach that destination. Makes a plan, makes effort, walks, travels, and overcomes the obstacles, observes with patience the issues. But if you ask a traveler, what is your destination? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. Then he will not try, he will not have a target, he won't have a standard or a basis on which to follow. So my brothers, can there be a bigger traveler than us? We are travelers ourselves in this world. And if we are travelers, what is our destination? Or not? Without the destination in point, can there be a traveler? No. If you say, yes, there is a destination, I have a destination. And I say, what's your destination? What is your end point? What is your objective? Jannah, paradise. That's good. That's good. But this is not our objective and destination. Remember this. Assets, structures, these things. This is not our destination. This is what Allah Ta'ala has told us to be. But the things that we go after, these are the rewards to get to that destination. Yeah. So, the palaces and the rewards, the luxuries, we strive for them. And these are the means to get to the destination. If we don't get those, then we will go into Jahannam. So isn't this the case? So what is our destination? Without the destination, we cannot succeed. If we don't understand our objective, we cannot achieve. We cannot succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says, first thing to understand this journey, Allah ta'ala mentioned his Habib, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody knew who was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was amongst the friends, amongst the people, they are doing travel, they're conducting business, and there are, you know, places where people do business and do trade. But in one way, due to the akhlaq, due to his conduct and manners, everybody knew him. He was Amin, Sadiq, good, honest. Everybody used to respect him, despite what I just mentioned, the travel and the trade and the transactions and the business. And this is how the people recognized and knew, not more than this. They knew, they recognized him. So Allah Ta'ala said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who you see, you are not aware of him. You don't know what he is, his reality. You don't know anything. Just like there is a big store, you enter into a big store and you're buying, you are shopping, and you've got your trolley and you're picking up the stock and you're in the queue. And then somebody comes to your ears and says, oh, do you know who this person is? And he's speaking about somebody very famous. You say, where? Where? Everyone starts to look at him. They'll start looking at him, won't they? Oh, the greater the personality, everybody will forget his shopping or her shopping and will start to look towards that personality. And if you realize the Prime Minister is in that store shopping alongside you, then people will look and people will walk up towards him and there'll be clamor and noise and then everybody will turn their necks, bend over backwards. Where's the Prime Minister? Where? Where's he shopping? Which aisle? And everybody will start looking and paying attention to him. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad, Rasul, look, he's walking, talking, he's amongst you. Let me introduce you to him, or introduce him to you. He is Muhammad, but he is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Allah Ta'ala introduced and defined our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the noise started. Oh, such a great personality. The noise started, but he's the Rasul? He's the Prophet of Allah? And then Allah Ta'ala, I'm reading within the verse, It won't be in continuous pattern, but it's so that we understand the message. And according to the subject, I will speak on the basis of the subject, not literally translate or explain. So when Allah Ta'ala mentioned Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Muhammad is Allah's apostle, he is the greatest man in the world today. The dunya was waiting for him. And he used to walk with us, talk with us, and eat with us. And for example, you know, the wazir, the minister used to tell me, I remember in the olden days, I was doing Umrah, and this point has just come to mind. While I was doing Tawaf, and it was 2:30, you know, you have the VIP personalities, they come swiftly and they go. So I was doing my Umrah, and there was noise. Everyone started to look around. Prime Minister, Prime Minister, Minister, Minister. And at that time, SubhanAllah, when somebody starts to get praised, then people, he's come here, he's arrived here. You're doing Umrah, and you learn that a minister has come, then your neck, it will turn obviously to the left or the right. SubhanAllah says, Muhammad Rasulullah. So the whole of the world shook at that time. The introduction was made. Then Allah Ta'ala said something on top of that. SubhanAllah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Allah Ta'ala explains in more depth. Some people became jealous, burnt, anger. They used to accept him before as a great human being. But when Allah Ta'ala praised him and defined him real in his reality, then what happens sometimes, a person, when he knows someone from, oh yes, yes, he was good, but when they see his reality and are introduced, then two groups of people are created. One are those who accept, but they have hasad, envy. They are envious of that individual. So Allah Ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Allah Ta'ala said that, and those who are truly with you, who are truly with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are with you, ma'ahu, who are your companions, your friends, your colleagues, they recognized you. So when I introduced you, O Rasulullah, then they recognized you, they stayed as your friends, as your helpers. Allah says, then I will introduce them also in the Quran. So we realize that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and he showed and explained and demonstrated and told the people what is our objective. That's why he was sent to us as the Nabi of Allah. What is your destination, O people? So the people who understood this and accepted this, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Allah says in the Quran that those who are with you truly, ask them what is the destination. O Prophet of Allah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told what was their life, the Quran says. And you will realize what is your manzil, destination. You read the Quran. Do you know about your manzil? Your destination, we say, oh, it's Jannah. But if I don't know what is my manzil, then I am the traveler who is astray, who is off the path. So let's think today, what is our destination, our objective, so we can start going towards it. So, Allah Ta'ala introduced the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, who is this? SubhanAllah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّةِ. That they were firm and they were truly with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. SubhanAllah. So they were with him. So Allah Ta'ala gave this duty that this is why you're here and this is why you'll be successful. What did they do? SubhanAllah. They did everything, but they didn't think it was the end point. They used to do all of the actions, but they knew that this was not the destination. What was their manzil, the destination? Allah Ta'ala says, Allahu Akbar, that they used to seek Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala all night long with different ways. Fadlun min Allahi wa ridwana. They were seeking Allah Ta'ala's radha. That was what they were seeking, SubhanAllah. So, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. That Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. So our destination, our objective is not paradise. Our destination, our objective is that we should be seeking favor with Allah, with the friendship, with the closeness to Allah and His goodly acceptance. So what is the path that will take us to this objective? To this end point destination, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and Allah Ta'ala's acceptance. You strive, you make effort. What are you doing? What are your actions in order to attain Allah's nearness? We didn't have this concept before, did we? That we're doing all of this to please Allah. We're saying, oh no, I'm doing these actions for Jannah, or I'm scared of death, I don't want punishment. These are secondary things. What is that proper objective? Why do you pray Salah? Oh, so my hereafter becomes good. We say this, don't we? Why are you doing these actions? Alhamdulillah, I'm not declining or rejecting this, but we don't know behind this what is the objective. That what are all of these actions leading to? They're all hidden behind the wall of Allah Ta'ala's radha, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Allahu Akbar. What was that verse that I read? SubhanAllah. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. That Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased. With what? That Allah Ta'ala has given the program that pleased me. And when that insan, he passes through this life, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm happy with you now. And now you enter into paradise. Now you enter into paradise. So what was the objective? To please Allah. To make Allah happy. So in the beginning Allah says, you make me happy. And when you're about to pass away, the person who attains that objective, that destination, then Allah Ta'ala says in the end that you are successful. What is your success? That you have pleased me. And I'll tell you the reward for this now. Subhanallah. وَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ Allah Ta'ala says. Subhanallah. So our maqsad, our objective is to please Allah. Is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we please Allah? I remember that event. I'll explain to you. Mention it to you. Hazrat Mahmud Ghaznavi was a king of India. Very famous king, Muslim, and in history there are many events that took place during his lifetime, and he used to have his court, his ministers, his workers and helpers, like the kings of old, they used to have people in their court, people intellectual wisdom, intellect, knowledge, within those ministers. He had a servant, a worker of his name was Ayyaz. And you know, we like servant or worker, and there were other wazirs, ministers, all people in the court of the king, intellectual people, brainy people, wisdom. But Ayyaz, his status was something else. Nobody had his status. All the words of his, Ayyaz, how he, the king used to listen to his advice and keep him close to himself and love him as well. The king used to love him. So all the wazirs and the ministers and the people in the court, they used to think, what is this? What is this speciality? We are big people. We are people of understanding, wisdom, knowledge. And the king, he listens to him. He's a servant, a worker. What status does he have? They used to talk like this, and these words reached to the king. So he thought, how do I answer this? I will give the answer to this. So he prepared the answer, because he's the king, according to his capacity and status, he prepared the answer. So one day he set the court by chance. Everyone was present, the company of the king. And there was a very special hadiah gift that came for the king. Another king, another leader from another state sent. This was Qaddil. You know, you have a certain locality. And it was beautiful. There was a gift for the king. Very precious jewels and stones, everything within there. And very beautiful and nice, very precious, expensive, very unique. So all the people were sitting there, the king was sitting there, and the gift was presented. So the king said to all the best, his biggest minister, he said, oh minister, break this, throw this to the ground. The minister said, what's the king saying here? What's he ordering me to do? Please, can I request something? This is very valuable and expensive. It's been given to you as a gift. You're asking me to break it. Please take my advice that don't break this. It's not right to break this. And he sat down. Then the next minister who was just below him, he was a bit afraid. How can I break such an expensive item? He didn't dare. He said, oh, blessed king, I request, leave this jewel, leave this treasure, it's very expensive, unique, don't break it. So slowly, slowly, one by one, all of his ministers, first minister, second, third, all of the lowly grade people, all gave the same answer. Then in the end, he called Ayyaz and said, break this. Ayyaz took his stick, staff, raised it, and struck it down, and broke those jewels into small pieces, destroyed that jewelry. And the king said, come here. How bad you have done this action. You've broken such a expensive item. Are you not ashamed that all of the ministers are sitting here, such good people, they give me advice, their status, and you think they're foolish? Were they mad to give this advice? And you raised your staff and struck it down? So where will I get this expensive jewelry from? Where will I attain this unique gift? And the king was a bit angry. And then he puts his hands together and said, blessed king, forgive me. But there was something behind this that came into my heart. That you stated break this item. And close to me, your order was more valuable than this item that was in front of me. Your order, according to your order, there was no value in comparison to your order. And this jewel, this stone, this had no value in comparison to your order. And I could not accept that. I refute and reject your order, and I'll allow this precious item to stay in existence. So I could not break your order. So everyone was quiet. Everybody was silent. So what we realize, my friends, is that the proper servanthood and the proper servant of the Creator is he or she who doesn't break the order of the Rabb, of Allah, of the Creator. And this is servanthood. This is the person who is the believer. And this is how we attain rada, pleasure. That any order coming from the master, at that time we don't think that what will be the loss of this order, what of mine will go, things will finish, what, why, when. Don't ask these things. Don't think these things. Think, who is ordering this? And the person who accepts that order, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. And he practices on that order, which is from his Rabb. Then close to Allah, he becomes what? Allah Ta'ala says, I've become pleased with this person. Pleased with this person. So the biggest ibadah, the biggest worship, that whichever order of Allah Ta'ala reaches us, however it reaches to us, it is Allah's order. It is Allah's order. We know that Allah Ta'ala has ordered something. Pray salah. When to pray, how to pray, not to worry. But the order is pray. Then run towards salah. Run towards salah. Allah Ta'ala said, observe the fasts. We don't know, is it a 20-hour or 18-hour or 13-hour fast. But we know that Allah Ta'ala has ordered. Why are you keeping the fast? It's difficult, etc., etc. No, no. We don't know. Allah Ta'ala has ordered. We cannot break this order. In comparison to this, all of the things we can break. Other things, but not the orders of Allah. No. Allah Ta'ala's order comes for Hajj. Doesn't matter what happens. Whatever condition you're in. But there is the condition, the person who can do Hajj. He can do Hajj. And all of the Shara conditions are met by that individual. Affordability, etc. He can travel. Then he has to do the Hajj. But if we make all of the excuses and try to present excuses, but that hukum of Allah is present at that time, we cannot bring any other excuse in comparison, in opposition to that at that time. Allah's ordered. We have to do it. We have to do the Hajj. Because we fulfill the criteria. Let's take the example of Zakat. Zakat. Who is ordering Zakat? Allah. But I'm praying, is Allah's order. Or I'm keeping the fast, is Allah Ta'ala's order. Giving Zakat is hard for me. No. I'll do it in the future. I'll pay afterwards. I'll defer it. No. This deen, taking some actions, leaving some actions. Accepting some things and discarding other things. Being steadfast on some actions and leaving totally other things. Close to Allah, this is not deen. This is not deen. Allah Ta'ala is in the whole Quran mentioned, don't make your deen like this, like the previous nations. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the events in the Quran. The whole Quran is full of nasiha, direction, guidance. The whole Quran, all of the events and the events, the examples Allah Ta'ala has presented us is for one reason, that don't discard Allah Ta'ala's order. Now you take any event of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions this, that be careful that my orders will come. And sometimes it will be a test for you. Sometimes it will come as a trial for you. Sometimes it will be difficult for you. But successful is that person who accepts Allah Ta'ala's order. If Allah Ta'ala has told us to leave something, don't go close to this item or action, then it doesn't matter how much a loss we may feel or believe that we will earn due to following that order. It doesn't matter. Allah Ta'ala has ordered, pray salah, we'll pray salah. If Allah Ta'ala has given the order, fast, we will fast. If Allah Ta'ala has given the order, go on Hajj, we will go on the Hajj. Allah Ta'ala has ordered, give zakat, we will give zakat. Allah has given the order that obey and imitate my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will obey him, we will imitate him, we will adhere to his ways. These are the orders of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has said, I don't like this action, don't do this action. That doesn't matter what happens, you will see these things around you, but don't do this. These are the examples of the world. Oh, but people in the world are doing it. What can we do? Allah says, no, this is not it. If I have told you to leave it, then leave it. Whether you understand it or not. Well, don't start weighing it in your mind. This is the hikmah, this is not the hikmah. Allah says, you cannot understand my hikmah. There are many things I will tell you that they cannot even come close to your aql, to your understanding. Yes? For example, Hajj. 3 million people go and gather for Hajj. Why are you gathered here? You're going around the Kaaba, Tawaf. What's going on here? Why are you doing this, everyone? So many people. Is there any sense here? If we try to use logic and aql, then nothing can explain why we do Hajj. Oh, there's 100,000 rewards here for Salah. So everybody leaves the 100,000 thawab, reward of Salah from the Kaaba, and they go into Mina. So you're leaving 100,000 reward of Salah, and you go to Mina. So if the person who doesn't pray in Mina and he prays in Makkah, then he is leaving a big reward. But people, that he are leaving the orders of Allah. Look at the Hajj. Is there any sense and logic? You're leaving one action for another. Then you take the stones for
at the time throwing at the Jamarat, and through this many stones, etc. You're telling people, you're communicating, and behind all of these actions is Allah Ta'ala's orders. There's no sense maybe, there's no logic. Then come back to Arafat, then go to Mina, then go back for Tawaf, then shave your hair, then take your clothes off, your ihram, and put your clothes on. You don't know what's going on. And Allah is saying, you've left your homes, you've left the Kaaba, you left Mecca, you go to Mina, then you go to Arafat, then you go to Muzdalifah, then you go out into the wilderness, then go back to Mina, then you have to throw the stones at the Jamarat, at the Shaytan, and then you go back to Mecca, then Safa Marwa, the Sa'i. Yes, does your mind and brain allow you to understand the wisdom behind this? But Allah Ta'ala wanted to give us ta'aleem, hidayah, that this is the life of man, that you are not to see what is happening, what is not happening, nor should you start to ponder and debate and analyze and try to discard. I'm giving an example, I'm not saying this is bad. For example, I've got a fast and it's good for your health and there are benefits and your illnesses are removed and this and that happens. I'm surprised. Allah Ta'ala's hukum and there's no benefit? Of course there's benefit. Why do we need to justify this? Why are you counting the benefits? What is this? What is motivating us? Why are you trying to motivate us? Then you must fast in Ramadan, because in the morning you will do the sahur, and then you won't eat, and your stomach's empty, and then you will be flushing yourself, and you'll get nice. But the reason why we're fasting is because we are observing Allah Ta'ala's order. Allah Ta'ala said, do this, we are doing it. We don't know anything else. Everything else is secondary, tertiary. We don't know the hikmas. We don't know about those reasons. But that is when we are practicing according to its status. But for us, who wants to leave eating and drinking, and you're hungry, and you're struggling sometimes? So, why do we do this? But medical improvements, yes, there is the thawab, there is reward, and there is medical benefit, but this is against the reasoning for fasting. No, I'm enjoying it, and it's giving me balance. Yes, there are benefits for this, subhanAllah. But the true reason is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is obeying Allah Ta'ala's order, that is when that deed gives its enjoyment. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala is saying that do this action. Allah Ta'ala says, do this. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. So Allah Ta'ala says, why are we doing these things? Allah says that they do all of the actions because they seek Allah Ta'ala's favor and His goodly acceptance. And this is why Allah Ta'ala gave the high grade rank to the Sahaba. When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered that you will do this, then the rest of their lives they implemented those actions to please Allah. And they didn't reject any action. That is how they became the Sahaba, the companions. Allah Ta'ala gave them the title and the greatest rank. Radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu. Allah Ta'ala says that I am pleased with them. Allah didn't say I have given them Jannah. No. Allah gave them the greatest title, the greatest recognition. This is that generation, the Sahaba. After them, nobody like them will be able to come great as them, better than them. Why? Because Allah was pleased with them. And why? Because they obeyed Allah's order. Beware. Don't think about benefits. Oh, are there benefits in this action? I'll do it. Or let's leave this because there's no actions or no benefits and this is najis and impure. These are waste of time discussions. When somebody says and is debating, people debate to try to explain to us, there's one answer to give to them. Why are you leaving this action? Why don't you go towards this? For this reason, my Rabb has ordered and I have left it. If there are benefits, maybe. What do I know? If there's loss, there may be. But Allah Ta'ala has given the order that make your parents like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your face like him, imitate his actions. And those who are not doing this, they are not obeying Allah's order. Even if they're praying tahajjud, going on umrah regularly, reading Quran regularly and completing it, but they are breaking the hukum, the order of Allah. Allah's one order to break it is like qiyamah, the day of judgment. It is like destruction. Yes, and we'll realize that time, my brothers, when akhirah will come, the grave will come, and we've been given the standard, our destination, our end point, where we have to go to, what we have to achieve before death. May Allah forgive us, that in this way, if our maut comes, if our death comes, that Allah Ta'ala's laws and His orders we break, and our maut comes, our death comes, then the people who will break Allah Ta'ala's orders, oh, their situation and consequence will be something different. It's not radiyallahu anhu, it is Allah Ta'ala's adab, Allah Ta'ala's wrath, Allah Ta'ala's punishment, and the person will be dragged towards Jahannam. No, I'm doing 4 times a day salah. If I don't do the 5th, so what will happen? Brothers, the world will stay. We have one destination, alhamdulillah. And successful are those people. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, Allah Ta'ala has defined them. The people who have reached to their destination, that they don't break Allah Ta'ala's rules and laws and regulations. The total law of Allah, the total rule of Allah. What Allah Ta'ala said is unlawful, is unlawful. Allah Ta'ala said leave this, leave this. If Allah says do this, then do this. And we're using our brains and aqal to use as proof. No, the brain doesn't fall, doesn't pass in Allah Ta'ala's deen. So it doesn't matter what happens. If difficulties, issues, problems, then drop the veil, drop the barrier, which is the nafs, the desires. That's it. Our nafs tells us, no, no, not yet. This will happen. Beware. Is Allah Ta'ala's order this? Is Allah Ta'ala ordered us to practice this? And if I don't understand, go to the alim, the ulama, to the mufti. That's what they're here for, to explain the knowledge. Alim, muftiyan, they're scholars, they're doctors. They're doctors of the deen, of knowledge. They tell us this is lawful, unlawful. And apart from that, everything is a waste. That's why Allah Ta'ala has chosen them, selected them, the person who attains ilm, knowledge. The reason to attain ilm, knowledge, is that he should guide the people, inspire with guidance the knowledge, so people do the right things and leave the wrong things. That's it. And that is the alim who has the respect in the generation. They are the deputies of the Prophet. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala praised him in the Quran and said that he is the Rasul and this is what he will do and show you the path. And his deputies are who? They are the ulama al-Quran, the ulama haqq, the true scholars. And they'll have one objective, that they will lay down the guidance and the path. And that's how the ulama haqq, the true scholars of us, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, hundreds of thousands of wasail and means and solutions for the ummah. That do this, follow this, do this. But he had the same amount of life as the average man. But when a person starts to do the work of the deen, then Allah put so much barakah in his life, so much barakah, that he wrote 3,000 kitabs. Look, Hazrat Tanwi Rahmatullahi. So their life was the same amount of time. He used to eat, he had a wife. And Hazrat Tanwi Rahmatullahi had two wives. He had a home, he had to live in the house and live outside the house. He had his ibadat, his worship and tazkiyah and ibadat. And he had to improve others and guide them. But subhanAllah, he assigned himself to the ummah. And his hal was such that when he was in his final days, final moments, then Hazrat Shafi Rahmatullahi explains this event. As a Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi said that when he was in his final moments, then he assigned some of his work to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, that he was writing a tafsir or a kitab with the solutions in it. I can't remember the total subject. And he said that Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah's situation was such, the doctor said that somebody, nobody should meet you, they'd stop the social, and he was lying down on his bed alone. He was isolated, not isolated, but he was on his own. And he said that he used to call me, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib said they used to call me, to this point that nothing should come in your mind. The doctor said you need total rest. These are his final days and moments before he passed away, Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi said that he called me, Hazrat Tanwi Sahib called me and said, Shafi, a verse has come to my mind, and this is a very beneficial ayah verse on this masala. Make sure this is a benefit for the ummah. A masala will come, so start studying and analyzing and researching on this topic, on this subject. And I said, Hazrat, even now your mind is turning over with the masail just like this. And Hazrat said, Shafi, let me tell you, that as long as Allah Ta'ala has given me consciousness and kept me conscious and alive, and as long as I stay alive and conscious, my total drive and determination will be to deliver the message to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the point of my ilm, my knowledge? What answer will I give? You made me an alim to Allah. Allah, you made me an alim, and Allah didn't do nothing for ummah. So please forgive me. What is our situation today? But today the ummah is so thirsty, they don't even know that how to urinate. They don't even know that how to recite the kalima. I'm telling you the truth. That we should show some females, such men, such people who don't even know how to do wudu. The faraid, the compulsory deeds, we don't even know that how to pray salatul janazah. You have to explain the people the Muslim masail. Grab them, hold them, tell them, explain, guide them nicely, firmly. I swear by Allah, it'll be such a scholar like this, he will be the deputy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The barakat, the blessings, the nur, and his name will shine. You cannot imagine how his name will shine. So this is ilm, knowledge. That's why people attain it. So as I was saying, that we don't know about the destination until today. But did you consider that our destination is this, Allah's pleasure? So we need to attain this. So even if we spend a whole life, this is what happens with our whole efforts. We should make effort and never should to leave one hukum of Allah, one order of Allah. Look, how many orders did Shaitan discard? How many did he reject? Look how knowledgeable was Shaitan. He was high in status. In every field, he was a master. He was a master in every field of knowledge. He was muqarrar. He was chosen. He didn't leave any square inch of the earth where he did not prostrate. Everybody knew him, the jinnat. And they knew that he is very valuable. But he came into the realm of pride. That I am this. I do this. I have this much knowledge. And this creation has to be bowed to. okay, maybe, just like we make excuses. And what should have happened? That Allah Ta'ala has given us so many ni'mas, so we should be more grateful to Allah upon Allah's ni'mas. Allah, you give me tahajjud, you give me shiraq, you give me dhikr, you give me the ability to follow the sunnah from hundreds of thousands of people who are not doing, you give me all the tawfiq and I commit the sins. No, impossible, this cannot be, this cannot be. So this is what should happen, that we should do shukr on Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas. And what do? After seeing everything, oh, this is a small thing, oh, it's okay, the kids are doing, we'll make them happy. So the laws are breaking in our homes, Sharia is being broken in the home. But no, we do dhikr, I'm a dhakir, I do the tasbihs, I knock the tasbihs. This is all deception, delusion. What the Quran tells us, listen clearly, attentively, and there's success only on one thing, on obeying and adhering to Allah Ta'ala's orders. And the biggest loss and disobedience is to leave Allah Ta'ala's orders. Shaitan left one order of Allah. One. Where did he end up? And he didn't say no. He just presented an excuse. He didn't say no. He couldn't dare to say no. He said, Allah, but I'm made out of this and he's made out of clay and you know. And that was it. Allah Ta'ala, we should fear Allah. We should have khawf in our hearts, my friends. Why do we walk around big-headed in the world? One jolt it will take, one jolt sudden, and the person will depart. Today we don't know, first day, second day, third day, fourth day. The world forgets the person who's passed away. Allah Ta'ala has made this sift. This is Allah Ta'ala has instilled something that the first day, then there's a loss and a sadness. SubhanAllah. Otherwise it can never remain. So Allah Ta'ala decreases that person. Slowly, slowly. And then people forget him. We don't know where he's gone. He's passed away. Where has he gone? And then we become immersed in our dunya again. But it's going to happen to us as well. So the person passes away. He's buried. And then we remember the grave. Then we start to forget. So after today, we should make an intention. Allah has given us order for salah. You're going to accept, isn't it? We are going to accept fasting, praying. We accept fasting, don't we? We accept praying. Hajj, we accept, don't we? Zakat, we accept, don't we? And obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following him, we accept, don't we? This is Allah's hukam. Without this, there's nothing. We must obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything we have to accept. And if we leave anything from this, may Allah forgive, then there's nothing to save us in the akhirah. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the durood sharif.